The Heaven Field, a novel by I.G. Hume, read by the author. Episode 14, The Truth. Sanders walked with them down the overgrown path towards the lake. It was getting dark now, and an icy wind was blowing. "You didn't tell me what happened to your escort," said Sanders quietly, as they walked along.
"There's only you that really goes anywhere with me now," said Thomas, shrugging his shoulders. "They all usually end up in the canteen."
Sanders didn't reply. They walked back the entire distance in a heavy silence. When they eventually reached the underground levels, Thomas felt a peculiar relief, as if he were safe at home.
"Well, it wasn't quite the day I'd planned," smiled Susan in a subdued, apologetic tone when they reached the concourse.
Sanders still followed them a few feet behind. Susan stopped and looked at Thomas. Her chin was covered with dried blood, and her jacket had a large patch of mud down her arm. She looked pale and tired.
I think I could manage that drink now," laughed Thomas nervously.
"Maybe another day," she whispered. Thomas looked down at his feet.
I'll see you later then," he muttered. I'm sorry about everything.
"It wasn't your fault," she breathed, and leaned forward and kissed him lightly on the cheek. Thomas, his hand held up to his face in surprise, watched her disappear off towards her living quarters. He looked around. Sanders stood impassively behind him. Thomas stood in the middle of the concourse in a dream, his hand still touching his face where she had kissed him. They pushed on at a jog through the endless corridors, running blindly through the throng of ghostly figures. The weight of their heavy suits dragged them down, and Alex was gasping and sweating profusely as he followed Ekristina, with Yuri close at his back. The people in the walls around them had started to take a more substantial look as they continued their slow transition out of the field. They couldn't hold it off much longer. They ran through the transparent shape of a security gate and stopped outside a busy lift. Chris consulted her map.
"This is it," she gasped. "Down this lift, and we're in the main concourse."
"Then all we need to do is find them. They could be anywhere," said Yuri morosely.
"Peter, how long left?" asked Alex, ignoring the young man.
5 minutes," came a faint voice. "Hurry."
"It won't be enough," whimpered Yuri.
"It will," snapped Chris.
"Come on, into the lift."
They bundled themselves into the busy lift as the doors opened. It was crowded with lab personnel, and the three had to walk through them to get a place inside. Alex felt a chill as he passed through a woman in a white lab coat. He noticed that she shivered and looked around.
"I think we're starting to become solid," he whispered to Chris.
A man looked around, staring straight through him upon hearing something, then went back to reading the clipboard he held. Chris shot Alex a concerned glance. The lift journey seemed to take forever, but finally the doors opened and the personnel spilled out. Alex walked warily out into a warmly lit concourse, filled with people coming and going, some lab staff and a few military personnel.
"What now?" hissed Yuri. "They could be anywhere. Should we split up?"
Alex didn't hear him. He was walking forward, gaining speed, lifting his gun up in front of him as he spied his target. Thomas looked wearily across the dimly lit concourse, not quite knowing what to do now that Susan had left. A few off-duty personnel, mostly office workers, sat around in the easy chairs, chatting or grabbing a drink and a bite to eat. He sighed and made his way towards the toilets. Looking back, he saw Sanders was still following him, about 6 feet behind.
"Are you even going to follow me to the toilet?"
joked Thomas, trying nervously to break the ice a little. The big man smiled and nodded slowly.
"Even to the toilet, Thomas."
Sylvan spied Grace making her way towards him, a limp sandwich in one hand, a coffee and a bunch of papers in the other.
"Oh, hi, Tim. How are you coping?"
A direct, open gaze always embarrassed Thomas. He blushed.
It's Thomas, he whispered, and mumbled something about schedules. Hi, Jonah. They got you on nursemaid duty again, huh? She laughed. Thomas looked around to see who she was talking to, and realised with surprise it was Sanders.
That's right, Miss Palmer. Are you keeping well?
Ha! Well, in this place. I haven't slept since I don't know when. I've got those morons from electronics breathing down my neck. Your commandant just got to say, well, you know how it is.
It's the way we like it, Miss Palmer, smiled Sanders quietly.
Thomas felt a surge of jealousy towards him.
I guess so, laughed Grace. Never a dull moment.
Thomas shifted nervously and made once more for the lavatories.
Oh, Thomas, said Grace. I was wondering if I could have a talk with you for a moment.
Thomas nodded nervously and gazed sheepishly at his shoes.
Well, I don't want to worry you, and it's not really any of my business, but I've just been talking with Commander James. He's a little worried about a friend of yours.
Her voice trailed off to a murmur. Glancing upwards, Thomas noticed that Grace was no longer looking at him, but was staring past his shoulder, with an increasing look of perplexity on her face. He turned around to locate the object of her interest. He stopped, transfixed. About 6 feet away from him, the air seemed to take on a hazy quality, and Thomas thought he could make out dancing lines of light, faint trails of glimmering sparks. He glanced back to Grace, who was still staring at the apparition, her sandwich forgotten, still in her hand, half raised to her mouth. He turned back.
Oh no, he gasped.
The air seemed to buckle in front of him, and the line of sparks grew substance, and then through it tore a heavy, gloved hand. More rents in the air appeared, and a dark figure pushed its way from out of nowhere, a bright shower of sparks surrounding it. It hauled itself through the shower of light, as though pushing against a great resistance. From out of the corner of his eye, Thomas saw two more figures appear, dressed identically to the first. Their dark outfits looked like some grotesque, futuristic deep-sea diver's suits, all tubes and canisters, and what looked like an exoskeleton of corroded metal plates and wires attached to their limbs. They were covered in fine red sand, and from under their ominous visors, two pale, lamp-like eyes surveyed him. They each held a weapon, a heavy, unwieldy-looking device about 3 feet in length. It seemed corroded like the rest of the metal they wore, and gave the impression of having spent an age at the bottom of an ocean. In the instant that the figure appeared in front of Thomas, it raised the gun straight at him and fired. Alex strode forward grimly. There they were, Sullivan and Palmer, both together. He charged his weapon.
Peter, get ready to drop us out,
Alex heard Chris shout. Alex stood facing Dr. Palmer. Chris approached Sullivan, and Yuri took up a defensive stance between and behind them a little. Alex's hands shook, and he felt the sweat pouring off his face. Something was wrong. It all felt wrong, but he didn't know what to do.
Now, Peter,
yelled Chris. Alex felt his body suddenly gain weight, as if he were being dragged to the floor. He felt a wind whip all around him, and he stumbled slightly. He heaved himself forward, and painfully slowly he felt himself stagger through an invisible barrier. He looked at Dr. Palmer. She was staring straight at him, a look of fascination on her face. As he watched, she gained solidity, until there he was, before her, his weapon aimed at her chest. Thomas opened his mouth to scream, but a weight hit him from behind. His knees buckled instantly and he went down. He hit the floor before he could put out his hands to stop himself, and his jaw cracked against the concrete. A huge bulk crushed the air from his lungs, and he felt a wave of heat above him, and heard the crack as the weapon discharged.
Stay down!
He heard Sanders scream into his ear. Then the weight of the man lifted off him, and pain hit Thomas's lungs as he managed to moan. Tears streamed from his eyes, and he felt his mouth fill up with blood from where he had bitten his lip in the fall. He tried to roll, breathe again, and thought his ribs would burst. Through the blur, he saw the suited figure lower its weapon, pointing it straight into Thomas's face. Then a dark shadow sped past his vision, and with a sickening crunch, Sanders' shoulder connected with the throat of the attacker. The figure flew to the floor like a rag doll, its head at an obscene angle. Thomas could barely see anything through his tears,
just the two pale illuminations of the dead figure's eyes. He could hear the crack of more weapons discharged amid screams and shouting, and then the more familiar sound of conventional firearms join the chaos. Thomas didn't care now about the battle around him. The pain in his lungs and his jaw mattered most as he rolled on the floor, clutching his side, moaning and sobbing. Finally, through his agony, he realized the gunfire had ceased, and he prized open his eyes for a second, only to see a dark shape of a figure towering over him. He shut his eyes again in fear, and at that point lost consciousness. Alex stared at Palmer in fascination. She regarded him without fear, perhaps only a slight resignation. Dimly, Alex heard screams and shouts all around him, but his attention was directed fully towards Palmer. Around her body, Alex was now seeing the same figure he had watched upon Ecristina only a few minutes before. That same beautiful creature once again held Alex spellbound. He lowered his gun in a trance. He jumped at the harsh crack of a weapon being discharged beside him. He span around, still dazed, to see Chris standing over Sullivan's body. Another man crouched over the unmoving form, shielding him. Time seemed to slow down as Alex watched the scene in detachment. A bright blur, a glowing shadow sped past him from Dr. Palmer to Chris, but it didn't reach her in time. An insect-like claw, huge in proportions, solidified from out of the air around her, striking once at her neck. Alex cried out in the instant as the big man crouching over Sullivan leapt at Chris, knocking her to the floor. The golden shadow of the beautiful figure dispersed in a cloud of sparks and was gone. The terrible insect creature also was nowhere to be seen. Ecristina lay motionless on the floor next to Sullivan, her head at a grotesque angle. Distantly, Alex heard Yuri's scream of anger. "Get out of the way, Alexei! Get out of the way!" Alex looked around in a daze. Yuri had his weapon raised and pointed straight at Alex's face. Alex realized he had moved in between Antonov and Palmer, blocking his shot. "In God's name, Alexei, get out of the way!" screamed Yuri. Alex couldn't take it all in. What was going on? He repeated over and over to himself. Out of the corner of his eye, he saw the big man, who had hit Chris, stoop and pick up her weapon from where it had fallen. Alex took a step towards Yuri. "Step aside, Alexei! Please! Let me shoot, damn it!" Alex heard his own voice, calm and unfamiliar. "Put your gun down, Yuri," he said, taking another step towards him. "What are you doing, Alexei? Move, also help me, I'll shoot you as well." "No, it's wrong," he whispered, half to himself, as he reached out for Yuri's gun. The big man to Alex's left raised his weapon to fire. "But Chris," sobbed Yuri, as Alex gently pushed his weapon aside. Alex flipped off the safety lock on the panel mounted on Yuri's breastplate, as he did the same to his own. "We're leaving," he whispered tenderly, and flipped the switches on his and Yuri's suits. In an instant he felt light and insubstantial. Their surroundings shimmered as they shifted back into the field. The shot from the big man's gun ripped into them. Alex flinched as he felt a blast of hot air pass harmlessly through his fading body, but Yuri cried out in pain, sagging in Alex's arms. He dimly heard the retorts from conventional firearms, but they were back in between worlds now, and the figures around them were fading shadows. The world blurred for a second, then they were stood in the familiar howl of the red sandstorm. Alex cursed as he tried to hold Yuri up, but his suit was too heavy, and they both crumpled to the ground. Alex looked down to see a dark scorch mark on Yuri's stomach. It looked as if his suit had been breached.
"Oh God! Oh God, Alexei, I'm shot! I'm going to die! I'm going to die!" sobbed the youth.
"You're not going to die, Yuri. We'll get you back to the ship. Peter! Peter, goddammit! Get out here and give me a hand! Yuri's hit!" he yelled.
"I'm coming! Where's Chris, Alexei?"
came Peter's concerned voice.
"Just get out here!" he croaked, and tried to pull Yuri to his feet.
The young man screamed in agony, and suddenly all around him the storm intensified and darkness fell over them.
"Oh God, it's happening, Alexei! They're coming! Kill me, Alexei, kill me!"
he sobbed.
"We can make it," cursed Alex, dragging at the huge bulk of Yuri's suit. He could barely move him.
"Peter!"
he yelled again.
"You let her die. Now me," whispered Yuri in pain,
his eyes wide with terror.
"You won't die," sobbed Alex,
looking around him in horror, as dark, menacing shadows swirled about, then engulfed them. Alex looked around him in panic, as he sat crouched, cradling Yuri in his arms. It was as if the light were being sucked from an ever-increasing circle, centered on the two men. Yuri was gasping in fear and pain now, desperately clinging on to life, wide-eyed and pale.
"They're coming,"
he whispered again through cracking lips, and Alex held him tighter to his chest.
"Kill me,"
croaked the youth, his gasps becoming shallow and more erratic.
"I can't. Oh, sweet Jesus, I can't,"
sobbed Alex. He stared around him at the thick, congealing darkness, as the wind whipped around them, hurling the familiar heavy red dust at his visor. He looked down at the cracked red rock, and as he watched, it started to move and heave, as if something once buried were driving its way to the surface. Then, with a deep rumble and innumerable loud crashes, the rock beneath and around them cracked and split. From out of the fissures forced huge girders and beams, rusted pipes and other debris. Around the two figures arose a forest of ruins, a tight impenetrable mass of twisted metal and concrete, bars and beams, bent in all directions, intertwining and thrusting up into the blackness. Yuri sobbed and coughed, his movements growing steadily weaker. Alex gazed about in disbelief. They were completely surrounded by an unnatural forest of ruins. Dimly, he heard movement to his left, and to his horror saw a figure crawling on his belly towards them. As he approached, Alex sighed to see who wore an antique Russian army uniform from the Second World War period. The figure slithered into the small clearing around Alex and Yuri, and sat looking at them with a curious expression. He was a boy of perhaps 14 or 15, his rough uniform too large for his small frame, and his helmet almost covering his eyes.
Are you the enemy?"
he whispered in awe. Alex ignored him as best he could, desperately trying to staunch the wound in Yuri's stomach.
"Peter!"
he yelled hopelessly. His voice fell dead amongst the twisted metal.
"You look for the other one, like you?"
asked the boy hopefully.
"I have seen him. He is not far. I could show you the way."
The boy's face lit up with a smile, and he tugged gently at Alex's arm.
"Please, please, leave us alone,"
croaked Alex through his tears.
"Leave us alone." "But I have seen him. He is near,"
babbled the boy enthusiastically.
"This way. Let me help you."
The boy lifted himself up, pointing back through the mangled metal. There was a distant crack of a rifle, and Alex jumped as the boy slumped backwards into his lap. Alex was staring into the young boy's lifeless eyes, a red, ugly bullet hole in his left temple. Even as he pushed the boy off him in disgust, the soldier's body was melting and fading into nothingness. Around him, the tangle of metal faded in the storm, and the air was shimmering and solidifying. He looked down at Yuri. His eyes were staring blankly, and his breathing barely perceptible.
"This is outrageous,"
came a voice to Alex's left. He looked up to find himself in a dark room. The storm was gone, and he was now crouching on a thick carpet next to a leather sofa. A door was ajar ahead of him, leading into shadows, and a window let in pale moonlight from outside.
"I really must demand that you leave this instant."
Alex looked about to see a thin, bearded man staring indignantly at them. He wore a dark dressing gown and had a huge scorched wound on his chest. Alex gazed in horror as things scuttled to and fro amongst the cracked bone and tissue.
"Do you hear me? I said you must leave at once,"
he said again in a high-pitched tone, seemingly unaware of his horrendous wounds.
"Professor Lambert,"
came a cracked whisper of terror from Yuri's lips. The young man's skin was starting to tear now, and slowly his breathing died away to a stop. Alex shut his eyes and bowed his head in sorrow.
"Alexei!"
Peter's distant voice cut harshly into his earpiece.
"Alexei, come on, whilst we still can!"
Alex looked up. The room around him was gone, and he was back in the howl of the storm. Dark shadows still moved and twisted around him, as if attempting to form into things tangible.
"I'm so sorry, Yuri,"
he whispered, staggering to his feet, and stumbling off in the direction of the ship. He glanced back as he ran. Dark shadows of slithering forms twisted and writhed up out of the ground,
smothering Yuri's dead body. Some turned and followed Alex expectantly as he ran gasping towards the ship. Alex stopped suddenly. The slithering forms had given up the chase and had gone back to feeding on Yuri's body. The sounds of cracking bone were faint in the distance now. There, standing in front of him, was a beautiful woman, naked and oblivious to the howl of the storm. Something felt different about her. She didn't have the telltale imploring look of the other phantoms. A sudden realization hit him, and he raised his hands in defense, taking a cautious step backwards.
"Hello, Alexei," smiled the figure gently. "I was hoping to bump into you. I thought we might be able to talk a while."
Her voice was soft and musical, yet strangely alien. She took a step towards Alex.
"Stay back, demon!"
shouted Alex, frantically glancing over his shoulder, in the hope of catching a glimpse of Peter or the ship.
"Oh, Alexei, such a nasty name. You sound so foolish uttering it."
She laughed sweetly.
"I wouldn't have expected you to be quite so superstitious."
"Leave me alone!"
cried Alex nervously.
"But Alexei, I only want to talk," she soothed. "Won't you talk a while?"
"I'd really rather not,"
laughed Alex grimly, slowly edging away.
"I thought we might discuss a business proposition," she said.
"I seem to recall being at war with your kind," he replied.
"And you don't know what you are fighting for, nor against whom, Alexei,"
sighed the girl.
"You don't have enough understanding to make those decisions."
She stepped closer.
"I know enough not to trust you or your kind.
You are simply evil. That's all there is to it.
Now either kill me or leave me,"
shouted Alex with a newfound courage.
"Evil,"
spat the woman, her face twisting into a leer.
"You speak of things your dull mind cannot contain. You brand me with your superstitions, causing endless injury to my kind. Do not pretend you are some innocent crusader, Alexei. That's not how the world works. Even you understand that."
The woman looked proud and scornful.
"I fight for the world. You fight against it,"
yelled Alex, not caring for his safety.
"Oh, don't try and take the pious tone with me,"
she laughed.
"I don't think Sally or Patty would thank you for saving them, would they?"
She raised an eyebrow in a gesture of sarcasm. Alex put his hand to his temple, staggering a little in the storm.
"I had no choice,"
he croaked.
"We had no choice. We had to save them from themselves."
"Well, shall we ask them?"
asked the girl playfully.
"Patty, dear, you didn't mind being eaten alive by those nasty creatures, did you?"
she said in a baby voice.
"Oh, Alex,"
came a soft voice to his right. Alex shut his eyes. It was Patty.
"I thought you loved me."
"Oh, what about little Sally?"
spat the woman scornfully.
"How she squealed when you caught up with her. Were you doing what was best, Alex? She took so long to die, didn't she? Your hands around her neck. She just refused to go. Shall we see what a week at the bottom of a canal did for that sweet complexion? She always was an outdoors sort of girl, wasn't she?"
She laughed cruelly.
"Leave me alone,"
shouted Alex vainly.
"You're like us, Alexei. Just admit it."
"I'm not like you,"
he screamed.
"All this I've done for good. For good."
"Was Dragol for good?"
asked the girl impatiently.
"What? What do you mean? I couldn't save Dragol. I tried."
"Stop deluding yourself. Understand your true potential. You killed Dragol because you had to. There's neither good nor evil. You would have been captured, and you prevented it."
Alex's mind raced frantically, and he sank to his knees, filled with remorse for his past actions.
"Dragol is a real handicap,"
came Alex's voice from the girl's mouth.
"You said so yourself."
"But they shot him. I saw the creature,"
he whispered quietly.
"The creature struck him."
"And who do you think controls the creature?"
said the girl in a soft, tender voice.
"You made them shoot Dragol. just as you killed Chris. That is all. It was the only way.
Alex pushed himself to his feet, turned away from the terrible girl and fled. He heard her words ringing in his ears as he ran and ran.
You are beginning to learn all that is in you, Alexei. We'll talk again, my friend. There is so much work to be done.
Alex stumbled on through the dust, sobbing and gasping, running blindly back into the heart of the storm.
Alexei, here!
Peter was waving his arms from the crest of a low outcrop of rock. The red dust swirled about him. Alex staggered towards him, barely conscious.
So they are both gone, croaked Peter. Then it is true. Henschel was right.
He turned and Alex stumbled after him, back to the ship.
You have been listening to The Heaven Field. For more information, downloads, and artwork, visit theheavenfield.com.